Hi, everyone. Welcome to the American Marketing Association Marketing Power Podcast Series. I'm John Frank, Editorial Director of AMA's Marketing News. And today we'll be speaking with Jenny Shady, who is President of JRS Consulting, Inc., about bouncing back from a job loss and how best to prepare yourself for a new job search. Jenny has been a career counselor, has handled hiring for a major public relations agency, and interviewed more than 1,000 employees as their organizations went through turbulent changes. Today, her Wilmette, Illinois-based firm, JRS Consulting, helps organizations increase attraction among employees and customers. Clients include Kraft Foods, Bay's English Muffins, McDonald's, and Exelon Corporation. This podcast is brought to you by Marketing News, the flagship publication of the American Marketing Association. Hi, Jenny. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm delighted to be here, John. Thanks for having me on.
I'm glad to have you. I'm sure our marketing listeners are going to be very interested in our discussion. As everyone knows, unemployment's up across the economy because of the recession, and of course, marketing is no exception to that trend. Many companies have decided to trim staff at year-end as well, so I would guess some of our listeners, unfortunately, may have just gotten their pink slips, and they'll be very interested in hearing what you have to say, and hopefully we can help them bounce back from those losses pretty quickly. On that score, what should someone do first when they're told they're going to be let go? Is there an acceptable period for grieving over that loss before you sort of start the next search, or where do you begin?
That's a good question, John. I actually was recently speaking at the Public Relations Society of America's International Conference in San Diego, and I was meeting with people who wanted advice about their careers, and a woman came up to me who had just received a phone call in her hotel room and had lost her job. Very upset, and she said, the first thing I did was come on down and talk with you. And she obviously was very emotional. And what I said to her, and I would say to anybody who's recently lost their job, is you've suffered a loss, and you need to give yourself some time to grieve the way you would for any loss. It's much like when you lose a person or if a marriage ends, there's a period you need to go through where you just allow yourself some time to grieve and get yourself together. So the timing is going to vary a little bit, depending on the person, but I would suggest anywhere from, a few days to a couple of weeks for really significant grieving.
How does someone know when they're done, or should they sort of set a time limit for themselves before they begin?
I don't
wallow in the grief too long.
No, but I think just at least initially, as I said, for a few days or a couple weeks, don't put too much pressure on yourself to start a huge job search, but just allow yourself to grieve. And when you start to feel a little bit more energy is, when you can move forward and take some steps. Now, if you're finding, you have several weeks and you still have no energy and you're really feeling bad, that would be a sign that you might want to get some professional help, which would not be unusual because, a job layoff can be very difficult. One of the things that people can do that can be very helpful, I always tell people, surround yourself with your posse, the people who make you feel good. And these are probably not the people that you used to work with, considering the circumstances. But those people in your life, your family, your close friends, who you can be yourself with, who you can talk about your feelings with, and, let yourself vent a little bit and talk with them. And that can be tremendously helpful at that time.
That's a great point. And I would think some people tend to withdraw because they feel some sense of shame or they don't know how to talk to people about that, but you're saying they should do the opposite and rely on the people they're closest to.
Well, right, and certainly now in terms of feeling any kind of sense of shame, I mean, anybody who has lost their job is in very good company. 7.5 million Americans have lost their jobs since December 2007, so, you're certainly not alone, and everybody should keep that in mind.
That's great advice. So once you come to terms with the loss, what comes next? How do you start bouncing back, and where do you start on the search?
Well, keep leaning on your network, your family and your friends, the people that make you feel good, and they can be a resource for you. And you want to make sure that you say goodbye nicely to the people that you worked with. So, you may have already left. There certainly seems to be a trend now towards you lose your job and you're out that day. But follow up and send an email or a handwritten note with your new contact information to people that with whom you worked and who you had a relationship with. And try to include a positive point or two about your time with the organization. Never, ever badmouth your former employer, as important as tempting as that could be, that would be a very bad move. You always want to take the high road. And if you need to vent, go back to that support network that I just talked about.
So no bitterness, no bad-mouthing your former employer.
No. Nobody ever got a new job because they were so negative. That's just not going to work. So you may have some negative feelings. That's okay, but be careful who you share those with. And as part of the process, you might be doing some things that are kind of tough, sending out resumes. A lot of people don't really enjoy that process, networking. So make sure that you do something good for yourself every single day. You're hurting, and you're going to have some things that you might not particularly enjoy. So identify something every day that you do enjoy, and you can kind of focus on that, and you can say to yourself, okay, I'm going to call 3 contacts, or I'm going to send out 5 resumes, and then I'm going to take a walk or work out or go to a movie or whatever it is that would make you feel good.
That's a good point. I mean, finding a job is a job, but it should also be balanced with life, just like any other job should be balanced with the rest of your life.
Absolutely. And then tell everybody that you're looking for a new position, and I mean everyone. You never know where a job lead might come. And so even think outside of your professional network and, talk about your job search with neighbors and acquaintances. They just might know someone who knows someone, and that could lead to your next chapter.
That's good advice as well. What about some basic skills for the job search? Maybe we should start with the resume and putting that together. Someone, especially who's been employed for a long time, they may not have much experience in putting together a resume. How do they start?
Make your resume stand out by focusing on how you have provided value beyond your job title and responsibilities. What did you contribute to the company? So, for example, somebody who is a manager of online communications, that's your title. But another way of thinking about what you did was you made every employee feel like that they could communicate with the CEO. Did you increase readership of your company publications, increase demand for your internal department? You want to sit down and think about exactly what you contributed beyond just describing your job responsibilities, which everybody else is going to be doing.
That's a great point. I mean, job titles today are so sort of transitory anyway. It's really good to tell people what you did, not just what your title was.
Exactly. And if you're not sure, ask some of your colleagues and clients. You actually might be surprised at what you hear back, what people consider your value to be. It might be something a little bit different than you think.
That's a good point. Other people see us differently than we do ourselves. And they may be better at pointing out our strengths than we are ourselves.
Right. In fact, I know somebody who had worked in her business training people to give presentations, and she talked with one of her clients to find out exactly what he saw her value as being, and he said, well, it's true. You are pretty good at training people to do presentations, but I don't think you stand out that much in that area. But what you really give me is a sense of executive presence. So when I walk into the room, I command that room. People are looking at me as a leader, and that is invaluable to me. So that gave her something very unique to talk about herself.
Interesting. What about once you get an interview about your attitude and demeanor? Should people be practicing at home? Should they be answering questions in front of a mirror or in front of a friend?
Absolutely. Practicing in front of a mirror is good, but practicing with live people is even better. Do some mock interviews with friends and family. Don't worry about feeling silly. The more you can practice, the better the actual interview will go. And I always tell people, too, open out of town. That's my tip. So if there's a job that you're not even too crazy about, try to get the interview and just think of it as a practice session so that you're really honing your interviewing skills.
That sort of leads to what I wanted to talk about next. How do you decide where to, which companies to contact as you're looking for a job? Do you just contact every possible source, or how do you create your target list?
Yeah, sometimes people talk about just kind of doing a carpet bombing campaign, but I always say carpet bombing just winds up on the carpet. You want to target your job search and personalize your letters and even resumes to show why you are perfect for this position. I know somebody who was telling me that they had sent out hundreds of resumes every month and received really a minimal kind of response, but it wasn't until she decided to pull back and regroup a little bit and really focus her contacts and prepare more personalized letters that she started actually getting interviews.
So be discriminating, be targeted in what you're looking for. How do you stay calm in that kind of an environment? I mean, I would think the impulse is to just get a job, get any job I can get right away.
But I think I can understand the impulse. However, put yourself in the shoes of the company that's doing the hiring. I mean, they can kind of sense the desperation, and that's not going to make a candidate very appealing. So if you really take the time to strategically select the positions that you're interested in and prepare for those interviews by doing research, by making sure that your materials are really targeting that particular position, and if you've practiced and you go in and you have an effective interview, you're much, much more likely to actually get that position.
What about the age issue? What if you're an older worker, if you're over 40 or 50 or even 60 and you want to keep working? Do you have to prepare differently, or do you have to address the age issue when you go for an interview? And how do you approach interviewing at that stage?
I think you have to prepare yourself because it's all about your mindset. If you go in feeling like you're too old for the position, and if you're apologetic in any way, you're going to come across as not right for the position. And what you need to think about is that more experienced employees actually offer greater professionalism and sound judgment. I mean, remember that you have a lot to offer, and you need to emphasize that to the employer, but you also have to believe that this is the job for you. Because at the end of the day, the first sale is always to yourself, you know? So you have to believe that you actually want this job, and you have to be convinced of that. So what you might do if a job is perhaps something that you might not have considered a few years ago, is take a look at what it does offer. So, for example, would you be learning new skills or a new industry that might be a stepping stone to something else? Do you consider the opportunity to offer more meaningful work, you know, perhaps in an industry that you're more interested than what you were doing previously? Or you might be impressed with the integrity of the potential employer. Any of these things are things that might have meaning for you and that you can talk about in your interview, and these would all be reasons why you would be interested in a different sort of position.
And how do you respond if you hear questions that you think might be sort of code for, are you too old for the job? How do you deal with those? If someone says something like, well, maybe you have too much experience for us, or is this something that would really interest you at your point, at the point you're at in your career, things like that, how do you deal with questions like that?
Well, again, I think if you've thought about the position and, you know, so somebody brings up your years of experience and you say, you're right, I bring a lot of experience to the position, but frankly, I've always been intrigued by your industry, and I see this as a real opportunity for myself to get to work in a field that I find very appealing.
Mm-hmm. So use it to sell yourself, in effect, and sell why you would be good for the position.
Right. And that's really the point of every interview, is you are selling yourself. That's what it's all about. I mean, it's not for the interviewer to sell you. It's for you to sell yourself to the interviewer about why you'd be perfect for the position.
Mm-hmm.
But before you go in, you need to have sold yourself on the idea that at least you're interested.
Mm-hmm. So I would think staying calm is an important part of it as well. Not asking the interviewer how old he or she might be as you're in an interview.
Right, that would be a bad move.
I would think people might be tempted to do that, but avoid that temptation at all costs, right?
Exactly.
A lot of people you talk to after they've lost the job start thinking about who they are professionally, and they start wondering, should I go back to school? Should perhaps I be working on my own? Is this the time to redefine who you are when you've lost a job?
I do think that after you lose a job, it's a time to do some soul searching. And here's where I'm coming from on that. a lot of fields have changed. Journalism has changed tremendously, so has marketing. And new skills are often required today. I mean, a lot of journalism has gone online, for example. And in marketing, I mean, with social media, the marketing model has really changed a great deal, too. And I think you need to ask yourself really seriously, do I still want to be in this industry? Do I have the skills that it takes, or am I willing to learn them? And make sure that you do feel positively about that. Back to the public relations conference I spoke at recently, I made this point during a talk I was giving there, and a woman actually came up to me right after my talk and said, that point you made about making sure I still want to be in this industry is so right on. And she just burst into tears. And she said, I've realized now why my job search isn't going very well. I really don't want these kind of jobs. Mm-hmm. And you've made me realize that I need to spend some time thinking about what I do want to do. Because if you're out applying for jobs and it's really not what you want to do, that's going to come across and you're not going to be very successful in your search. So if you've lost your job, do a little soul searching and make sure this is indeed what you still want to do. And if it's not, you might want to explore another option.
And is it the time to pick up those new skills? And you talked about, for instance, in marketing, the whole world of online marketing and digital marketing. I know one friend, for instance, who's taking classes in search engine marketing now to try and update her skills. Is this the time to do that when you're in the midst of a job search? Or?
I think it's definitely a time to try to keep your skills current. I mean, especially in the marketing field today, you at least need to be familiar with online marketing and social media so that you can be conversant in a job interview, for example. It might not be what you're going to focus on in your job, but you at least need to be familiar with it and sound like you know what you're talking about.
Okay. What about the thought of just going out on your own? I mean, every time there's a recession, it seems that many people in marketing, advertising, public relations, any of the creative crafts decide, I'm just going to set up my own shop and work for myself. And is it that easy to do? It sounds easy, but is it that easy to do? And how do you decide if that's going to be right for you?
Working for yourself can be great, providing that you have the desire, discipline, and ambition you need to start and grow a business. You have to remember, when it's your name on the door, you have to devote time regularly to marketing your business and attracting clients. And that isn't everybody's bag. It can be a lot harder to market yourself than to market your employer's company, your clients. But what I tell people, because a lot of people are asking this very same question that you asked, John, you don't actually have to decide one way or another right now. You can test the waters a little bit by doing some freelancing while you're conducting your job search. You know, try it out and see how you like it, and meanwhile pursue job opportunities and just see what happens. I mean, by doing both, you're basically doubling your chances of success.
That's a good point, and we might be in an economy where companies are jobbing out smaller projects rather than hiring people full-time to do them, so there might be some opportunities.
And to build on that, I know several people who started out doing some consulting, doing some freelancing, and then it turned into a job.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, too. You're basically trying out for the company, aren't you?
You're trying out for the company, and you're sort of testing them, too, you know, to see if you like the environment and if it's something that you'd want to do. So that can be a very nice way to see what kind of a fit you are for the company and as well as what kind of a fit the company is for you.
Hmm. That's a great point. Well, so we've taken people through from the loss and the grieving stage to the interviewing stage and deciding whether to change careers or not. Assuming someone finds a position or gets offered a position, how do you know, what kinds of things should you be thinking about before you decide to take it? Again, I would think that the first impulse in a bad economy is just to grab the first offer you get, but that might not be what's best for you long term. How do you work your way through that?
I wouldn't take a job that I really didn't want at all, because it's probably not going to long. You know, you're not going to be happy there. So I would, as hard as it might be, I would still pass that up and keep looking. And I think the qualifications that you would use to evaluate whether this is a job for you or not are very personal. I mean, but whether you're interested in doing that kind of work, what you think about the company, what the growth opportunities are. But I sometimes find people looking at different kinds of things today, too, like life balance. You know, it might be a job that pays a little bit less than you're used to, but maybe it has less hours and you've discovered that you don't want to work, you know, 14 hours a day. So I think the important thing to do when you're in a job search is to, again, back to the soul searching, really think about what's important to you and what you're looking for a job, and then use those when you evaluate opportunities that come along.
And what about pay? I mean, in this economy, should people just assume they're going to have to be paid less for a new job than they were in their old position? And how important should that be to them?
I wouldn't assume that you're going to receive less pay. There's kind of an interesting thing going on. There's a lot of people who are unemployed. However, some of the people who are employed are actually doing well in their jobs. They are getting some pay increases and things are going well for them. So just because you're unemployed doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have to take a pay cut when you do get a job.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know. So don't assume that. Don't go into an interview thinking, oh, there goes the paycheck.
Right. Well, and a lot of what we're talking about today is your outlook and your attitude, really. So you want to have a positive outlook. You want to be sold on your own skills and your own abilities. And I think thinking positively about your potential salary as well.
That's great advice. And I think that's great advice to end on as well, because that seems to be the message throughout our talk here, is to stay positive, stay forward-looking, stay focused on what you want and what's going to work for you and what will work for your potential employer. So thank you very much, Jenny. Our time's just about up, so let me thank you again for joining us today. And thanks to our audience members for listening to this installment of the American Marketing Association's Marketing Power podcast series. To hear more advice from Jenny and other career experts, watch for the March 30th issue of Marketing News, which will include a feature story on bouncing back from a job loss. This show has been brought to you by Marketing News, the flagship magazine of the American Marketing Association. Please don't forget to subscribe to the RSS feed for AMA's podcasts on marketingpower.com. You can also find us on iTunes now. And thank you very much to everyone, and goodbye.